As the crowds were increasing, Jesus began to say, "This generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up with the men of this generation at the judgment and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar nor under a basket, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illumined, as when the lamp illuminates you with its rays." Amen. Recognize what it is to be a child of yours for now and for eternity, and to know, Father, your goodness. Truly, there's no one like you. Thank you for strength for each day. Thank you for the opportunity to wake up in the morning and to know this day too is your day. You have something special in mind for us. As we go to school, as we go to work, as we're at home, as we travel, as we recognize that you have opportunities for us to get to know you better and this world we're in, but also to be able to do a job for you. Father, as Christians, disciples, that's what saints are. And Father, every born-again believer is a saint. We've been called to move away from sin and to move closer to you. And Father, again, the reality is there. As we draw closer to you, you draw closer to us.
Yes,
you, Father, are within the believer. But Father, there's so much that can distract. There's so much that can move us away from you. The temptations of the world are real. Your word makes that clear. The temptations of the world are temporary, and the temptations of the world do not ultimately satisfy. But you do. God, you're so good. Thank you for personal relationship with you. Thank you for the promise of, for the reality of, a peace that this world cannot understand. A peace this world cannot have, because it comes from you. Thank you for a joy that is deep and within, that you want us to have.
Yes.
When life goes sour, the circumstances that we were looking for just aren't there. And the things we hope for, once again, they're not there, or they're not what we hope for. Thank you for reality. Thank you again for the joy of a heart that's been set free, and to know what salvation is. Yes, home awaits. And Father, even as the quest for more brings out the loneliness we are to feel now, and this world has a disease of loneliness, but that's not what we're talking about. A loneliness and that there's a home that awaits us, and we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And so there is pain, and there is sorrow, and there's heartache, and disappointment,
yes,
and grief.
Yes.
But there's the certainty of knowing that's all temporary. 20 years, 40 years, 80 years, 100 years?
Yeah.
What is that in comparison to eternity? And everyone who is here this morning, and those who hear us later over the airwaves or whatever, is an eternal soul. And will either be with you, if we're born again, guaranteed, or if we're not with you, we'll be apart for eternity. Oh, Lord, can we grasp that? That is truth. And so thank you for revealing it to us. But then again, as we're going to see from your word, Father, without the proper light and illumination to understand, we don't get it. And we live for the now. Thank you for bringing safely back, was it 19 of our people on vacation last week? Thank you for bringing them back to us. Thank you for a week. I trust of growth. I trust of opportunities utilized. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for being with us through trials. Thank you for Tony here this morning. And Lord God, we pray. I haven't talked to him in the last day. But as we look for a port to be useful tomorrow, oh God, may it be. Successful surgery on Thursday. And yet, Father, the port did not work on Friday. Encourage our brother. Hold him up. May he know he's not alone. May he know we have no answers for why. Darren and Drew are flying in later tonight. Still work to be done in Oregon. Thank you, Father, for your watch care there. There have been other surgeries this week, other procedures, other examinations, other sorrows. Lord God, you know. I trust that's one of the reasons we're here, because you know. And we come because we need you. And I trust we come because we have you. And so, Lord God, work within us. We just sang, Spirit of God, descend. Spirit of God, you have descended. You have come down. And you are the promise, guarantee, within every born-again believer, that all of the promises you give, Jesus, to your own will be fulfilled. I often call it the engagement ring, with a definite fulfillment, because the wedding, the marriage supper is coming. And Jesus is bringing us home to show Father. So Lord God, here we are in a world that again is filled with turmoil, wars. Hearing on the news this morning that, was it Nigeria? But throughout the world, persecution of Christians is increasing. I can't remember, was it 100 churches a day? That doesn't seem real. Are being destroyed? Was it in Nigeria? Somewhere in Africa. And Father, churches and churches, you know what they're like. But I assume there are many born-again believers, part of it. Lord God, we have it so easy here in America, maybe too easy. Lord, you know what we need. You know what we can handle. Help us to lean upon you. We pray for this country. But we pray right now, dear God, that you would move within our hearts, that as we worship, it would be in spirit and in truth, as you tell us to. But that our worship would be such that it would be pleasing to you. May we be here because we need you, we want you, we love you, we would worship you, we would adore you. And then, yes, have your way with us and teach us your truths. And may we break down every idol and cast out every foe within us that would hold us from being what you want us to be. Oh God, you're so good. So thank you now. As we would entrust the rest of this service, the rest of this Lord's Day, our lives, Father, our all, and we entrust it to you. Oh, there's Anne. Anne's not with us this morning. I trust she's with her dad, Western Pennsylvania father. Thank you for bringing him through serious surgery. Thank you for his love for you and his desire to pass out Gideon Bibles. Many of our kids here have received Gideon New Testaments when he last visited. And Father, we entrust and realize again. I trust we realize, may it be, not my will, not our will, but your will to be done. And to you be the glory as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Please turn in your Bibles to Paul's second letter to Timothy. We'll be reading chapter 3 in its entirety as we prepare for our study in the book of Luke once again. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But realize this. That in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Amen. Father, in our passage before us for study this morning from the Gospel of Luke, we see the tension between light and darkness, and a warning to make sure that the light inside of us is not actually darkness. Where can we go? What can we do if that which we think is illuminating us actually turns out to be darkness? And we see the tension between light and darkness here in this passage from 2 Timothy as well. A look at what it looks like as humanity moves into the last days. This complete breakdown and destruction of the ability of people to live with one another. The idea of being treacherous, reckless, conceited, brutal, haters of good. All of these things that mark a humanity that is distant from you, that has turned its back on you and is walking away from you. But in the midst of that darkness, there's the capacity for Timothy to thrive, to show himself to be one who follows the example of Paul, who continues in the teaching he received from Paul, who follows the conduct that he saw in Paul, and not just from Paul, but also from his mother and his grandmother, the godly heritage from which he came, who pointed him to the sacred writings, which were able to give him the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's your word that illumines us. It's your word that allows us to understand what's happening inside of us and whether it is light or whether it is darkness, and to run then to the light of your word. So we ask for grace for Pastor John as he works through these verses in Luke this morning, that he would bring to us all that you want us to know about yourself, all that you want us to know about ourselves, and to lead us in a way that we can walk in the light. Be with him and uphold him this morning, we ask, and be with us as we listen and turn to your word, we pray, with attentive and hungry hearts. Be with us now also as we have brought tithes and offerings to give to you in worship, to participate in the work of your kingdom, and to declare our trust in you. And we pray that you will so guide and direct these funds that they will build up your kingdom and help us now to worship in our time of giving. Be with us, please, through everything that's accomplished in this service. May it lead to your glory. May it build up your people. And if there are any outside of your family, may it draw them in. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For what is it in life that you need more than anything? What is it? And the Word of God makes quite clear that whatever it is, the greatest of all, and the need of each one of us is truly in Jesus Christ. It's summed up, wrapped up, and gifted to us by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, what are you looking for? Leads to another question that we're going to look at this morning. How well do you see? Do you have a good eye or two physically? I guess I have 1.5. The left is doing better, but I've never really used my left eye, and most of you know that. It makes a difference, our physical sight. But how much more spiritually our sight? And that is where we are this morning. I go back to the bulletin, quote, John MacArthur, "God must open the eyes of our understanding before we can truly know and rightly interpret his truth. His truth is available only to those with a regenerate spirit and in whom his spirit dwells." You must be born again, in other words. "For only the spirit can illumine scripture. Just as the physically blind cannot see the sun, the spiritually blind cannot see the sun. Both lack proper illumination. Without the Holy Spirit within," and that any and everyone here who is not truly born again, "the Spirit of God is still able to work, to bring conviction of a need, to bring assurance that Jesus satisfies that need by dying on the cross for your sins as well, and can bring you to salvation. I remind you how difficult it is to get through to anyone, to share the gospel. I'm reminded again of a teenager, and I go back to Herb Freeman from my first church in New Hampshire. Pastor, I try to share, and they don't want to hear. The contemporaries don't want to hear. What can I do? How can I get through to them of the necessity of knowing Jesus and being born again?" It's always a miracle when a boy or a girl or a man or a woman is able to see clearly enough, "I need Jesus, and he is the answer, and he is the one." In our text, Jesus continues to speak to the crowds. He's using everyday scenarios to teach spiritual truths. Yes, the crowds are increasing. We saw that in verse 29. "Gathered thick together. We saw the man was healed, a demon cast out, and then he began to teach. Yet they, for the most part, still would not respond in faith to trust Jesus. He spoke of someone greater than Solomon or Jonah was now in front of them. And you recall, he shared, the Queen of Sheba traveled far distance, costly expense, and was rewarded. When she shared with Solomon, "I've heard about you, but I didn't hear half of the truth. You are wiser than anything that was said. And those who serve under you, what a glorious privilege they have." The pagan Gentiles repented. Jonah came and told them, judgment is coming. He never gave them. He wouldn't. He was a racist. He hated them. He never gave them the opportunity to repent. And maybe you won't get judged. He preached judgment was coming. But their own conscience was smitten. And they cried out, repented. Yeah, Jonah, that's what you were afraid of. Shame on you. Shame. The gospel should long for others to repent and have eyes opened up and to see the reality, the beauty of Jesus Christ, and then turn to him. Why did the hearers not respond to Jesus back then? One of the answers is light, or the lack of it. In each of our four verses, our text this morning, light is mentioned. More than that, in those four verses with the contrast, the synonyms, the verbal forms that are used, maybe 12 references in those four verses to light. This morning we bring the third witness. From history, we talked about the Queen of Sheba, we talked about Jonah. But the third witness of truth this morning comes from daily life. Just the natural gift of light. How well do you see? Light is to be shown. Verse 33. Luke 11, 33. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar or under a basket, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. God's word, the Bible, is described as light. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. How am I to walk through life? How am I to walk as a guy, as a girl? How am I to walk as a father? As a husband, as a wife, how am I to walk as an employee on the job? How am I to walk as a citizen? How am I to walk? Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. One of the reasons for Proverbs on Sunday nights. And I encourage you and invite you to be with us for things that are so basic, many of us have missed them and we don't live it. The word is described as light. But it must enter your being to be effective. It must enter your innards to be effective, this word. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance, enter your being. The entrance of your words gives light. And I remind you that Jesus is the living word of God, the Logos. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus, the living word of God. God's word is light. Jesus is the light, as I mentioned. What did he mean by that? Well, God is described as clothed with light. God is spirit. And yet we read in Psalm 104, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 104, 1 and 2, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a cloak. 1 John 1, 5, many of us are memorizing it or have memorized it. 1 John 1, 5 reads as follows. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Pure, perfect light. God created life for the world. Back in Genesis, you read about God's creation of the darkness, and then we've got a light at night, we call it the moon. We've got a light in the day, we call it sun, and there was light upon the earth. Light is a picture of contrast, darkness and light. Evil, sin, wickedness, and holiness. Darkness and light, contrast. When Jesus was incarnated, when he became flesh, he became and shares, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. God's word is light. Jesus is the light. And the purpose of light is to illuminate. Simply, you don't light a candle and just blow it out. Maybe on a birthday cake you would. At least the one whose birthday you're celebrating. Hello, Ed, from Friday. But no, light is lit in order to be able to see. You don't put it in the cellar. You don't hide it under a basket. Jesus, the light, was right there in front of them. He had shined forth the reality of his being. He does not hide his light. He reveals who he is and who he was for them back then. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, the promise was made, the prophecy was given. Isaiah 9 2, the people who walk in darkness shall see a great light. Light is there that we might see who God is, who Jesus specifically is. His words as he taught them, and again he's been teaching, we've seen some of the hard things he said over the last few weeks. But they had to agree. No one spoke as him. We've never had a rabbi. We've never had a teacher. We've never had anyone speak like this Jesus did. And yet they wouldn't recognize it. Yes, his words showed who he was clearly. And then his works, his miracles, as John calls them, signs. Signs that point to something. And here now, the sign of Jonah. To some extent, yes, 3 days and three. We're talking about his resurrection. Can you see who this Jesus is? Do you want to see who he really is? He's God. His life brings salvation. But he's also the judge. Loving Jesus will judge. And as we'll see in Proverbs tonight, a reminder again, judges better tell the truth and make right decisions. And Jesus perfectly makes the right decision. Either you are for me or against me. Either you're born again or you're not. It's cut and dry from Jesus' perspective. Yes, the purpose of light is to illuminate. And Jesus said, hey, here I am. You've seen the miracle. You've heard my teaching. You're to know that I am light and I'm here for you. And this is the face of requesting more signs. As we read earlier, show us another sign, Jesus. Wait, another sign? It's going to make a difference for you? Who are you trying to kid? You don't want to know who I am. You don't want to bow the knee before me. They did not need more signs in order to believe. The problem lay with their eyes, their inability to see, their inability and their lack of desire to believe that he could be the Messiah. And Jesus' refusal to give more signs does not mean that he is hidden. He was right there. He was the preacher. They had seen the miracle, as we've seen. If you are here this morning and still demanding more before you entrust yourself to Jesus, that doesn't mean there isn't enough light. But probably it means you're not using what you already have. And maybe to ask yourself the question, am I really looking? Do I really want this? Remember the promise that is given throughout the scriptures. If you seek for me with all your heart, you will find. If you seek for me with all your heart, how serious are you about Jesus? Are you the one? And yes, I can talk about a number of guys who have written books who were so convinced that he wasn't the one, but they sought to prove he wasn't, and they found. I can't remember if his name was Michael Green. That's one of the earliest ones I read in English. Professor or whatever, and he wrote the book. I think it's Who Moved the Stone, but I'm not sure. But he wrote the book, and it starts out, this is a book which refused to be written. I'm writing a book that refused to be written because I had this intention in mind, and when I looked and saw the facts, God revealed to me, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus did rise from the dead. The resurrection is valid, truthful history, and Jesus is alive today. Do you want to believe? Do you really see a need to turn your life to Jesus Christ? Light is to be shown. It was then in front of them. It is today if you will look and respond to what he shows you. The health of the eye determines what one sees. The eye is a lamp. Verse 34. That one's a little different. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. A lamp, not in the sense of giving out light, the light source does that. The candle, the flashlight, the beacon, Jesus gives the light. But in allowing light to reach the soul, I remind you, the eye doesn't see anything. The eye sends to your brain, and the brain interprets what you've seen. Oh, good morning, I see you out there. The brain tells me who I see. The eye just brings in, so that the brain can interpret. But if the eye is clear, it allows light. It is healthy. Clear means healthy. It's undivided. It's focused. And the focus that is needed abhors compromise. It needs to be set on Jesus Christ and left on Jesus Christ. I think of David, a man of God. I think of Paul in the New Testament, old and new. And it can be said of both of things. One thing I desire, one thing I do, one thing I live for. I desire this Jesus. I desire this Messiah. I desire this God. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to give him my heart, give him my life. I'm going to live for him. The purpose. The eye allows light to enter the body. Light to enter the body. There is no inner light in humanity. So often we hear, again, reading the book on what happened in the early 1900s between liberalism or modernism and the gospel. And seeing again there and reading again and being reminded that that's what's happening in our churches today on how we see and interpret things. And we're going right back in the wrong direction. But saying there that, you know, and you've heard it, there's a little bit of good in everyone, except for maybe a Hitler. And I guess that's a Trump from some people's understanding. But there's a little bit of good in everyone. In everyone. We just have to draw it out. And God says, no. In my soul dwells no good thing. We all are filled with sin because of our nature. And we do things, why did I do that? And you know Paul and his struggle in Romans 7. The good I want to do, I don't do. The bad I don't want to do, I wind up doing. Oh God, help me. Are you able? Yes, he is able. And I sing a chorus now, able, more than able, to do above and beyond. There's no inner light in ourselves. Light must come from outside. Our sinfulness darkens, it blinds. It keeps us from assessing or thinking clearly, even as the light comes in and we start to see and hear more about this Jesus. A clear eye allows light. A bad eye causes darkness to remain. I love the modern cars with their rearview mirror. I've learned when I back up, I can trust what I see. Except for the time, not that long ago, when apparently it was all darkened. Dirt, mud there. And I'm trying, whoa, I better not just back, I better check another way as well. But when I got a piece of rag and wiped it, oh, could see clearly. Could see clearly. A bad eye causes darkness to remain. Bad or evil, depending on your translation there. But what we're talking about, this evil eye here, I remind you back then, there in the land of Palestine and Israel as such, with all the sand around them and the wind that would blow that sand, and also the strength of the sun shining down, the glare of the sun, eye diseases were extremely common. Extremely common there in those days. Bad eyes, evil eyes as such. Our sinfulness, our stubbornness keep us from seeing problems within us. Keep us from seeing what God would have us see and know about ourselves. In my flesh dwells no good thing. In John chapter 3, Jesus spoke, verse 19. This is the judgment, that the light has come. He is the light. The light has come into the world. And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Too easily for us to love the darkness, to pretend it's okay. A little of this or a little of that. And we don't realize sometimes the trap that is set for us. Everyone who does evil hates the light, verse 20, John 3:20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Is mom or dad at the door right now? I better change what I've got on my phone, on my computer. The book that's in front of me, the magazine that used to be there, you don't need them anymore. There's enough trash right in the electronics of what we have. For fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth, verse 21, John 3, comes to the light. Come to the light. That's an old hymn. It's shining for thee, for you, for me. He who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. Wow. Darkness and light, cut and dry. Except the struggle and the battle that goes within. All these minds. I've talked often about these minds. You can be looking at me very intensely, but your mind may be 1,000 miles from here. Or maybe it's just back in your kitchen because you're getting hungry right now. But we can travel the world even as we sit here and stare and look like I'm paying attention. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying I know what I'm capable of. And if I'm capable of it, you certainly are as well. But God shares here again. A bad eye. My eyesight. Not so good when I allow sin in my life. My will, not yours, God, be done. My little kingdom, again, a quest for more, coming to the end of that study there, but seeing again and again and again, my kingdom rather than the big kingdom, your kingdom. I'm to be living for your kingdom, not mine. I want to build my kingdom, whatever it is. Success, popularity, money, certain relationship, well, whatever it is, your will be done. And God is not a killjoy. You're never so free. It was good to see so many of you here. I missed some of you on Friday night. But it was good to see so many because many of us were away. It was good to hear the laughter. It was good to play the games. Even if Brian's wife looked at me and said across the table, I've never seen anyone play so poorly, Yahtzee. I just couldn't get three die. It was terrible. And I got three turns. And it got worse. What I'm trying to say is Christians can have fun. Christians are to have fun. But there's no bitter aftertaste when Christians can laugh because of fun that God gives and allows. God wants you to have your best life on earth now. But it comes when I yield my kingdom and my desires and my wishes and I seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And then you've promised that all these other things of what am I going to wear and what am I going to eat and these things that I need and God knows I need and he'll supply them. And yes, there are disappointments and heartaches. But there can be a joy. Not only can there be, there's supposed to be a joy. Christians, a joy while tears are flowing. Because it hurts and I don't understand why. But I'm yielded fully to you. And some of us are stubbornly holding out in different areas in our lives. And then we wonder why God doesn't come through. Again, we read it this morning, I believe, in this world you will have. You will have. God spells it out right up front. And is it Pastor John David who says, what did you sign up for? What did you sign up? What did you think when you became a Christian? Whipped cream and cherries all the time? Nothing going bad? And some of us, you know, some of us here know the reality. I didn't know what troubles were until I became a Christian. And there are reasons for that. As long as you're not yielded to Jesus Christ, Satan's happy. He wants to keep you from getting saved, and if you get saved, he wants to keep you from growing and being a fulfilled disciple. From Timothy, equipped for his purposes, for his work, yielded to him. But you need to know what it's going to cost. It may cost relationships, because your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend, or your best friend, whatever. Hey, if you want this Jesus, forget about me. That's part of it also. Yes, a bad eye causes darkness to remain. It's no wonder people stumble in their lives. No wonder that things can get worse. Implications here, before we finally move to point three. You are responsible for either allowing the light in or holding it back. Every one of us is responsible before God. I want more light, or enough is enough already. I don't need to read the Bible regularly. I don't need to be in church so much. I don't need to listen to those things. No, enough. I don't want more. Or God, more about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his fullness to see. More of his love, he who died for me. I need more and more and more. We are responsible. And secondly, pray for God. If you're struggling, that he would break you. Pray that you really look to him, regardless of some of the implications I alluded to, or whatever it might be specifically in your life. God, I see. There's really nothing outside of you. All the pleasures of life for a season. Moses realized that. He gave it up. I don't need to be Pharaoh's son. I don't even need to be the next Pharaoh. I don't need. I want to serve you. And I want to lead these million plus people out through the wilderness so that they can grumble and complain at me all the time. He knew he was serving God. He was blessed. The health of the eye determines what one sees. Finally, a final warning. Watch out. Watch out. Verse 35, then watch out. The verb there in the original language is a present tense imperative. That means it's a command. Present tense means it's ongoing. It's not just once and done. Continue as long as you're alive to watch out. Because it is possible that what you think is light is actually darkness. Watch out that the light in you is not darkness. Verse 35 spells it out. I'm okay. I'm okay with my theology. I'm okay with my interpretation. I can get other pastors who would agree with me. Maybe not with you, Pastor John, or whatever. It's not important so much what Pastor John thinks, unless it's what the Word is saying. That's one of the reasons I use commentaries. That's one of the reasons I talk to other pastors and other brothers. It's one of the reasons. When something is so unique, that's a danger flag for me. When something is so clear, then I want to run with it. I want to run with it. But there are far too many who think we're okay because of what we believe, because of what we've been told. I can't remember who it was. I believe I buried her. But before she got saved, she shared, My mommy told me I was okay with God and I'd get to heaven because I was a good little girl. Good little girl. Mommy told me. Prayerfully, mommies and daddies are telling you the truth. Prayerfully, your loved ones, your friends are telling you the truth. I sure pray that I tell you the truth. I recognize the responsibility of standing up here. But again, that the light that you see and have may be darkness if it's not based on the true and full Word of God. It will be this darkness when one thinks he can generate his own light, when one thinks he can interpret it on his own. Watch out for that. Watch out who you ask counsel from. Make sure they are truly walking with God. The real danger here, thinking you see and having assurance based on darkness, not on light. Samson, used greatly of God, but then lust consumed him, and he ended up blind. Lot started out well. He was even vexed. The Bible says he was vexed in his spirit at the sin around him, Sodom and Gomorrah. It troubled him. Why didn't you get out? But if you read the scriptures, he got closer and closer involved until he sat in the gateway with the leaders and was a part of it. He wanted feet in both worlds, and that doesn't work. And he wound up drunk in the cave, and incest that followed because of it. The Pharisees there with Jesus in our context, they thought they were following true light. They knew the word. They knew the Old Testament. But they didn't. And so hardened they could not tell the difference and see that the light was right there talking to them. Jesus. He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. His works proved. Not from Beelzebul, not from the devil. It was God's power working through him as he countered them on that accusation. The final warning, watch out that your light is not really darkness. And second, see your whole being that it is full of light. Verse 36. If therefore your whole body is full of light with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illumined as when the lamp illumines you with its rays. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5, let me just read a couple of verses there. In Ephesians 5, verse 13 and then 14. Verse 13, Ephesians 5, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. And in that context before that, in verse 8, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk. It's not just the way you walk with your 2 feet, if you're able to. But your walk is your lifestyle, the way you live. Remember, wherever you are, if you're born again, children of light. And light is supposed to be seen by the way we walk. Again, not just with your 2 feet, but the way you live. The way you act at home, you boys and girls. Are you obeying your parents? In the midst of those verses read from Timothy, all those horrible sins, you've got that little phrase, disobedient to parents. That's not a big, oh, it is a big deal. Yes, it is. It is a big deal from God's perspective. Because remember, parents are to be there as authority figures to teach you about other authority figures, ultimately God himself. Ultimately God. So walk as children of light. When a man takes care of his whole person, his desires, his intellect, his feelings, his will, and they have the light of Jesus shining upon them, every area of our life, every area of our life is to show forth that light. There's much conversation about AI. There are dangers with AI, this and that. I check out AI on my computer. And theologically, sometimes it is very good. And other times it is right from the pit of darkness, hell itself. But I looked up AI with reference to light. Listen to what AI said on my computer. You want more light? Actively immerse yourself in his word by reading and meditating on the Bible. Cultivate a consistent prayer life. We talked about that in Sunday school. Some of you need to hear it on the internet. Cultivate a consistent prayer life and prioritize his kingdom in your daily decisions. This involves shifting your focus away from worldly distractions. That's not bad. That's from AI. Imagine that. Immerse yourself in his word by reading and meditating on the Bible. Cultivate a consistent prayer life. Prioritize his kingdom in your daily decisions. This involves shifting your focus away from worldly distractions. So, how well do you see, spiritually speaking? If there is darkness in your spiritual life, the fault is never with the light. He shines forth in glory. The problem is with our unbelief, our worldliness, holding on to sins, holding on to me rather than him, which keeps me in bondage. And finally, the purpose of light is to shine. And if we have the light of Jesus within us, oh, may it shine through. May it free us. Free us that our tongues would give forth praise as we sing, as we worship, in testimony time. I'll say it again and get in trouble. Have you ever noticed the sexes on Sunday night and testimonies? What I'm saying is, 7 testimonies maybe, I forget. We had a number of them last Sunday night, and it was good. But so many are females. Females don't stop. But men, and now I want to sing, rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Nothing's happening in our lives as men. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for daily being with me. Thank you for helping me as I was driving this week. Thank you for helping me with this conversation. Thank you for just to give me encouragement that your word is truth when I wanted to be discouraged. Thank you, Lord. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Ben Franklin, he lived there. Ben Franklin wanted to show Philadelphia that we need some lights here in the city. So he got himself a lantern, and he hung the lantern in front of his house. Didn't say anything, just hung a lantern in front of his house. And people noticed as they walked by the house of Ben Franklin that, hey, it's kind of nice, the warmth, the light. I don't have to watch the cobblestones so that I'm tripping on the stones. I can see where I'm walking. Someone else got the same idea. Well, maybe I ought to do that. And it wasn't long before the city decided we need lights in the city. May the light of Jesus shine through you, that others might be encouraged and challenged, that they too would see the reality of why we are here. The light of the world is Jesus. Set my soul on fire, that I allow his light to shine through. And may the scenarios and the situations that you place me in, God, be to the glory of you. Not necessarily that they're all nice and soft and easy and good, but to the glory of you, that I would shine in the midst of that, that you would shine. Let us pray. Father, you know each one of us intimately. You know why we came, why we're here, and what we've been thinking and what we've heard. And Father, I trust that the light of your word has set forth in our hearts to see. Darkness too easily comes into our lives. We allow it. Sometimes we want it. We covet it. Help us to see that that is inconsistent. It cannot go along with the light of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Oh, the old rugged cross, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from every sin and all sin to set us free. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And help us then to live in such a way. Help us to live in such a way that it just comes naturally because it's supernatural, you within us, causing us to see the higher purpose. Homes and marriages and children and family, yeah. Jobs and careers, schooling, yeah. But the greater purpose is to let the light of Jesus so shine in us that we want it to shine in whatever we're doing and wherever we are. Draw us to yourself, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.